Praise the Lord. Praise God. As you can see, the decades of standing and ministering and being on planes and all that at times can take its toll. But greater is He that's within us than He's in the world. Amen? Amen. Well, we're going to conclude the series on the parable of the lost and found. And I want again to, I touched on this at the beginning, but I want to again and kind of give you something I gave the church about 8 years ago, something that I do, I've done for decades. We're talking about our everyday battle. The Lord invites us, as we've learned and know, to spend time with Him. Just like spending time with a person in our lives. So it's personal to the Lord when He says, come and pray. When He says, come and spend time with me. We're going to use the term a little bit more now, called a quiet time. Because you'll see as I'm teaching, in order to have a quiet time, we have to learn how to quiet down with all the busyness of life. Someone asked me this morning, or many asked me how I'm doing, and I'm doing so good, but I'm really busy. I'm probably as busy as I've been all my life. And it's a reality of a lot of the busyness is just counsel and mentoring hundreds of people that are all around the country and the world. And, you know, morning, noon, evening, nighttime, I'm talking with people all around the world. Now, what we've also learned is that we don't have to put restrictions or strict regulations with your time with God. The tendency in America is that we're bookworms and we learn from others and we see something that we read and we feel good about it, and then we start putting regulations on what we do. I'm trying to just tell you, you're spending time with your Creator, and He's personal. The Bible tells us He's our friend. The Bible tells us we're co-heirs. The Bible tells us we have Father God, who has never done anything wrong. But today, the everyday battle with God is the easiest battle to win. The battle is spending time with God. So in this series, in the last few months, I'm trying to set you up for where we're going. And I'm really listening to the Holy Spirit and what He's saying to me right now. Because this is very fresh in my heart. This whole week I've been probably spent 10 hours talking with people about this very thing. So what I'm giving you is fresh from heaven. Last few months we've been discussing spiritual warfare and the battles we face. Remember, we've talked about the emotional warfare, the emotional health, all the different things. But this is the easiest battle to win. Some of the difficult things that you or I have faced in our walk with God, this is basically the easiest battle. It's just finding time with God. And the only way to lose the battle that we're going to talk about is just not showing up. It's like calling someone and asking them for a date, tell them where, when, all the above, and you don't show up. Don't expect a good relationship. Luke 15:31 says, this is right after the elder son complains to his father. He said this, you never gave me anything. And we covered that in the last couple of weeks. And we know that's not true. And so this is the father's response in verse 31. He said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. God says, this is you. This is me. I have never left you. I have never forsaken you. And everything that I have is yours. Just come and be with me. Now, we know the older son had a bad attitude to his younger brother. And the question is, why? Now, of course, we've talked about this, but the question is, why? I believe the elder son failed the everyday battle. Now, as we see, this is a parable. This is not something that took place, but this is a parable, a story, so that you can grasp the truth. And we know that in this, we can learn older son, younger son, father. It didn't say anything about the mom. How is the mom feeling about her son leaving? All the emotional things that go on, but it's really depicting Father God and the heart of the Father, even though we choose to go a wrong direction. But watch this. Listen to this closely. The elder son was living in the house with the father, but I'm not sure he was communing with the father. The father said, "You're always with me." The son was with him, playing on words, but he wasn't with him. He was there, but he wasn't really there. And that's why his mind, that's why in the story, it depicts how easily we can win the battle, but how easily we can lose the battle because we listen to wrong doctrine. We listen to wrong understanding of who God, Father God is. And so when someone stands up and says, "This is what I believe the Lord's saying to me about you," and he says these powerful words that I received wholly for myself and my home, sometimes we say, "Yeah, okay." Because we don't know who Father God really is and his character. Exodus 25, it speaks of the tabernacle. Watch this. "And there I will meet with you, and I will speak with you from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim which are on the ark of the testimony, about everything which I will give you in commandment to the children of Israel." So here it is. My definition of the everyday battle is, are you really meeting with God every day and speaking with God? Now, we're going to talk about that too, because remember I said regulations? Got to be every day. Got to do it this way and this way. Regulations. And if you don't, what happens? Another way of saying it, are you talking to God or are you talking with God? Are you talking to God or are you talking with God? Are you listening? It makes a huge difference to or with. There are many books out there. I've talked about this many times through the years. Pray for an hour. Write everything down you hear. Pray for 10 people, etc. How you pray. All, and they're all wonderful books. They all help us to understand the importance of communing with God and being with God. Many are trying to be with God, but because of the regulations, you get behind and you get all stressed out about your quiet time. God doesn't want you being stressed out in your quiet time. Have you ever sat with someone you knew they were stressed out? It wasn't a quiet time for you, right? Guilt then begins to rise up because you're supposed to be having time with God. You get frustrated and you go to work frustrated. Your family, you're frustrated with them because you haven't had your time with God. And I'm just saying to you, that's not what we're supposed to do. We are and should every day be with God, but we create our struggles in that mentality. So to get to my point today, here is another question. Regarding your relationship with God, are you meeting with a person every day? Not going through a regimen? But are you meeting with a person? Every time I wake up, good morning, Lord. What you got for me? Because he's a person who loves you. And he's supposed to be a person that you and I love. It's reciprocal. So the elder brother was in the house. And I wonder how many believers are in the house, the church, around the world, but not talking with the Father, not communing with God. Think about this being like a marriage. By the way, in a couple of weeks, we're going to be announcing a marriage conference that we're going to have in the fall. But think about this being like a marriage. Because you're married to Jesus. If you treat your earthly marriage like you treat your heavenly marriage, then you're going to have marriage problems. If you spend as much time with your spouse as you do with God, you will have marriage problems. So we're talking about spending time with God, having a quiet time. I'm going to give you some points, but I want to give you, I'm going to call them sub-points first. And the sub-points are under this heading. 4 myths about spending time with God. 4 myths about spending time with God, or 4 myths about a quiet time. And I hope we learn from this, because what I find in the 46 years of ministry is people really love God, and they don't know how to spend time with them. And so I'm trying to help you with this. The first myth is your quiet time must be between 4 a.m. and 6 a.m. That's not in the Bible. Most people fall asleep on God. And by the way, if you fall asleep on God, that doesn't make them mad. Sometimes people say, I was spending time with God this morning at 4 o'clock a.m. And some of you just want to punch them, don't you? Shut up, 4 o'clock in the morning. Because you work till 1 o'clock in the morning. And at 4 o'clock in the morning, you're slobbering, sleeping. See, early risers leave the late arisers alone. It's like this. Your wife comes in to give you a kiss, and you hold up your hand and say, it's not between 4 and 6 a.m. Nope. We need to schedule a time, honey. I just can imagine Terry. She'd tackle me. Say, be quiet and give me a kiss. See, that's the reality is, yeah, of course, we need to schedule times. I'm a type A personality. I live by my calendar. I write things down. I even have assistants that make sure they remind me of my calendar. Because that's how I am. That's my personality. Maybe that's not yours. See, some of you in the morning, you need to get coffee first. Some of you have more money than I, and you can go to Starbucks every morning. Spend $500 a cup of coffee. Here's the second myth. Your quiet time must last at least an hour. I know we've heard people say, I spent 3 hours with God today. Praise God. Hallelujah. Bless you. That person is either unemployed or doesn't have children. Hello, parents. Here's a third myth. Journaling must sound like the Bible. Some of you are really good at writing, Melissa Rufner. But my journal says, try not to be a ding-dong or an idiot today. That's how I explain things to myself. And sometimes I say even rougher things, so I won't let you read my journal. Wait till I go be with the Lord. My son can share it with you. But the reality is we have to understand we don't need to try to sound spiritual. You don't go up to your spouse and say, thus saith God, give me a kiss. Your spouse might say, what God are you talking about? You know. So the reality is you have to get to a place of realizing this is personal. It's with you. God relates to you. God relates to everybody. You don't have to change to relate with God. You don't have to, you know, jump up and down and flip and all kinds of things. And now I've returned my tithe and now God will talk to me. No, you have to understand he's a person and he wants to relate to you. He actually sent his son to die so that can happen. That's how much it matters to him. The fourth myth about a quiet time, that your quiet time must be every day. Again, I really move in a quality aspect of being with God every day, talking with God every day, praying with God every day. But we're talking about spending time with God. It's a marriage. But to really spend time, it may not at times be every day. But you know what you do? I'll tell you what you do. You feel condemned because you blew it. You feel like all Hades is going to break loose because you blew it that day. So you're going to make it up. You know, you don't have to make it up. Sometimes the Lord will lead you, you know, spend time with God for 2-3 hours. Be one of them people. But the reality is, it's not making up. It's just talking with God. You get up late. You're tired. How many of you know God loves you so much, he knows more about you than you do, and he probably made you sleep longer. But you got all stressed out because there's a regimen. I got to do this. I'm trying to get you all just to go, God loves me, and I love him. Amen? And just spend time with God. Now, of course, there's going to be times you're going to get serious with the Lord. He's going to talk to you. You're going to talk to him. And things are going to happen. You're going to ask him questions. You're going to go, you know, I don't totally understand this. And then he'll say, I'm going to give you the first step. I'll give you the next step tomorrow. God's done that to me many times. And at the first, it's like, wait a minute. God, I'm a type A personality. Give me the full picture. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I got it together and I know what I'm going to do. I'm being extreme here. And why I am is because I want you to understand that that's where the enemy wants you and I to get. He wants us to get more stressed out about what we're doing than who we're doing it with. So let me give you the four guidelines now. And I shared this with you before. I shared this with the men many years ago. And I wish I thought of this. You know, I was in my office and God spoke to me and I wrote this down and here it is. I probably should write a book, probably go on TV and, right? Okay. I was sitting at a dinner table at a meeting with the founder of Chick-fil-A, Truett Cathy. What an amazing man. You know, bottom line, his full desire was to create a business where everybody could go to church on Sunday. That's why they don't work on Sunday. Second of all, that he created a business to be able to build and fund youth camps. And that's what he did too. In our conversation, we were talking about journaling because I had my journal book that I used to use for notes. Now I have my phone. And he looked at that and said, what is that? And I told him. And so he told me his guidelines of journaling. And ever since I listened to that, wrote them down, I've done that ever since. So here's the first guideline. Quiet your mind. The battle you have in your relationship with God is in your mind, because your spirit is brand new. You're trying to spend time with God and your mind says, hey, you need to go pick up that suit from the cleaners. Hey, you need to go to the grocery store. Hey, at work, you got to do this. Hey, and so your mind is moving around. It usually takes me about 5 minutes to blank my mind. In other words, to where I am not thinking of everything I have to do. So what I do is I do write down a memory, oh, I need to pick up that suit. Psalm 62:1 says, truly my soul silently waits for God. Psalm 62:5 says, my soul, wait silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. So you quiet your mind to where you're not thinking about everything else. And that reality. That's why some people don't need to do their quiet time at 4 a.m, because you're going to really get quiet. You're going to fall asleep. And you don't need to do that. Do it when it's right for you. Here's number two. Focus your mind. How do you do that? How do I focus? And you know as well as me, you start praying, and before you know it, you hear something in the house. What's that? Focus your mind. How I do it, I sing or I listen to worship songs. And that's what he brought out. That's what Truett brought out. He said, you know, I have so much going on in my brain. He says, I need to sing worship songs. And let me tell you about worship songs. Is a lot of people, not our team, but a lot of people who lead worship have a tendency to try to talk up the anointing on the song they're about to sing. I want to tell you, 95, 98%, it's not scientific there, but there are some that are not, these worship songs are very anointed because God gave it to an anointed writer. We don't have to develop anointing. So what we do with music, singing or listening, because some of you say, I can't sing, listening to worship songs, it's already anointed. And that's why worship teams don't need to talk a lot, because the song itself, musically, you join them together and you let the song sing out and speak out from the anointing that it is. And so you create that. I said all that because you're a worshiper. Remember that teaching? And we all have to get to that place of understanding, is that we don't want to try to create an atmosphere to where we're trying to figure out how do we get God and the feeling of that anointing. That anointing's in the worship song. So when you worship, just begin to receive what's already there. Are you with me? Again, we're so blessed with our worship team. When I was a supervisor, I would go to many churches, and God corrected me. I'm telling you what, God's corrected me more probably than he's corrected all of you together. I'm just one of those type of guys, you know. It's just like, let's go, let's do it. And God has to tell me, no, stop. All right? But here's what I'm talking about. When I was a supervisor, I would go to many churches, conferences, different things. I'd speak. I'd bring in new pastors, all the different things. And some of these new churches, their worship team, you know, they played a bucket, and that's all they had. And, you know, the worship wasn't like the worship at my church. So I was trying to worship, and I found myself at the beginning of that saying to the Lord, are you hearing this? And the Lord said, yes. Isn't it great? I love it. Because it was about the heart, not the sound. Now, let me just say this to you. You can have a great sound and no heart. Right? I didn't mean to look at the worship team here, but but you know what I'm saying, right? Okay, yeah. You should have seen their faces. No, they weren't doing that. You see, even if we don't have a good voice, there's an anointing on those songs. 1 Samuel 16:7 says this, for the Lord sees not as a man sees. Man looks on the outward appearances, but the Lord looks on the heart. God not only looks at the heart, but he listens to the heart. Again, you might have a terrible voice, but your heart glorifies the Lord. Some could have a great voice, but your heart causes struggle for God. So I sing in my quiet time, but let me kind of enlarge this. A lot of times now, at the beginning it was just playing songs and I'd sing along with it. And then I knew the songs and I'd just sing it a cappella. But now a lot of times I'll wake up, because my quiet time's in the morning, I'll wake up with a song in my heart. Because all day long I've been talking to the Lord. And he puts a song in my heart. And I just begin singing that song. I'm not talking about a poetic song. I'm just talking about a theme of what the Lord has just been all night long just pouring into my heart. And so I would wake up and do that. Of course, I'd go back to singing worship songs, all those different things. But I do that. And it's not an hour, 2 hours. There have been times, you know, I do that. I do that on Sunday. I spend about 2 to 2.5 hours praying in tongues, singing in tongues on Sunday morning when I come in early. Actually, I have to apologize to one of the guys because I set off the alarm. I got here early and the cameras caught me and I set off the alarm. And they have it on their phone. They get a signal. So I wanted to stand by the camera and say, wake up! No, I didn't do that. Here's what Scripture says. His mercies are new every morning. Every day, God gives you the key to the Holy of Holies. Psalm 100, verse 2 says, come before his presence with singing. See, I can't pray or read the Bible until I enter his presence. So I slow down my mind, and then I begin to sing or listen to worship songs. And before worship happens, I write notes to something I need to do later. So once I begin to sing unto the Lord, my mind becomes quieted. Just like you are now. You're focused on what I just said. And your mind is quieted. The third is, he said, Truett said, pray your mind. And he wasn't talking about intercessory prayer. That's different. That's another time that we do that. What he was talking about was every believer spending time with Jesus every day, pray what's on your mind. And if world peace, he said this, I wrote it down, is not on your mind, then don't pray for world peace. But that's what the social media said. Pray for world peace. So I need to pray. No. If world peace is not on your mind, don't pray world peace. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Casting. Casting means to throw it on God. I played high-level baseball. I had a halfway decent arm. Throwing it. So that in my mind is like, wow, I'm going to throw it to God. You were not meant or designed to carry. You were designed to cast. You're a sheep. Sheep were not designed to carry burdens. Shepherds carry burdens. And the Bible says the shepherd leads you beside still waters. The shepherd makes you lie down in green pastures. It's a place of rest. It's a place of spiritual nourishment when you are spending time or having a quiet time with God. The problem we have, we cast it at God's feet, but then we become impatient and we pick it up again. Here's the definition of prayer. Ready for this? Prayer is a transference of a burden. Prayer is a transference. You're throwing your burden to the Lord. You're throwing it away from you. Here's the fourth, and we'll close with this. Renew your mind. And we renew our mind by God's word. So again, it's reading Scripture. Be led of the Holy Spirit what to read, but also have a reading plan. And if you miss a day, check the box. You're not cheating. Just go on. Amen. And then later on, maybe check the box that you didn't read. Check it with red. That's what I do. I check mine with black. And if I miss a day because of business, up early, all the different things. Well, that's an excuse, Pastor. You're a pastor. You should have gotten up earlier. Be quiet. Amen. Stop being so religious. And the reality, hi, I love you. No, it's kidding. I mark it with a black. If I miss it, I mark it with red. And so at times, like my wife was out of town, and so I come home and mope. I mean, I come home and sit on the couch and I'll go, oh, yeah, I didn't read. Oh, yeah, okay, oh, yeah. And there's no one there, nothing. So I read it. I catch up. And if I don't catch up, who cares? Who cares? You wouldn't want to be married to a person that remembers everything you missed. Some might say, I am. No. You don't want a person, God doesn't do that. you. And he gets excited when you come and quiet yourself down and spend time with him. Let's all stand. We're not done yet for those upstairs. We have a reading plan on Church Center. You can go and find reading plans if you want to do it on your own. We've done everything we could to be able to give you the ability to just quiet down and have a quiet time with God. So God doesn't want us to have a drive-through quiet time. God wants us to enter his presence and have a meal with him. That's what Truett said. He says, every day I want to taste and see that he's God. To have a meal. We have to get to a place where we're not pointing the fingers at a mirror at ourselves or anyone else. We don't want to be fulfilling a duty. You know why? Fulfilling a duty gets boring. And there are Christians today that are bored of the Bible because it's a duty. But when I read it, it's a meal to me. Wow, I've never seen that before. I've read through the Bible many times, 20, almost 30 times now through my life. And I'm just like, oh, taste and see that it's good. Man, this is so good, Father. And then I get in the car, I come over to the office and I'm praying, you know. And don't get me wrong, I'm not so spiritually, you know, and sometimes I listen to some good music, not worship music. Little Jethro Tull or something like that. Some of you younger ones, who's that? But I do that because I'm a person. I love music. But please know, Father God wants to talk to his kids. And I'm going to close with this. Here's my thought. I wonder what God wants to tell you tomorrow. You ever think of that? I get excited for tomorrow because there's something fresh he's going to tell me. So the everyday is the battle. So wake up tomorrow and say, good morning, Dad. Good morning, Father. What do we have today? A lot of times I'll go to the Father, I'll say, man, I saw what you did yesterday. Maybe it's Wednesday and I saw it on Tuesday, not just Sunday. I saw what you did yesterday. That was so cool how you set that up. I mean, I've had times where I've missed an exit. I go off the exit, and then I see somebody that I know, or there's a store. I'll go over there, stop in there. I meet someone, and I lead them to the Lord. Quite a few years ago before COVID, that's where I met that young group of homeless kids, probably 20, 21, 22. And so I walked in the store. I had missed my exit. I was talking to someone on the phone and praying with my eyes open, but I was just focused. And I went by my exit, drove, and went to the store, saw these kids, and I stopped, talked to them. And so I spent almost 4 years talking to them. Every one of them I led to the Lord. I fed them. I gave them money because I knew they weren't going to go drink with it. And sometimes the Lord says, give them money. They might go drink with it. But the reality is because how that happens is that you have a personal walk with God. I never knew what happened to them. Never knew. But all I knew is that they were born again. And they were going to go to heaven. That's all I knew. There are times God's done great miracles, and I knew them. And I saw it, and I saw for years miracles of children, miracles of healing, you know, all kinds of things. And I've watched people grow and everything. But just bottom line, I have a high expectancy that God knows all things, and He loves me, and you know what? He can trust His Son. He can trust His Son to do the right thing. And so He gives me those chances. He gives you those chances. Rise up. Be everything that God's called you to be. Just use what I gave you. Great man of God. Loved Jesus with all his heart. One of the most successful businesses in our country. It's amazing. I forget the total amount, and then I'll be done. So I just want to see you to see when you do the quiet time, like he did for decades, what God will do in and through you. His passion was that everybody could go to church on Sunday. They close. Most restaurants, fast food restaurants, make between 300 to 500,000 clear. They're open 7 days a week from 6 in the morning, some 24 hours, whatever it may be. Chick-fil-A, their average is like 1.4 million clear to 4 million clear a year, each restaurant. How does that happen? It doesn't happen because they have better chicken than everybody else. I believe it happens because the founder spends time with God. And God, it pleases God to bless and prosper his kids. That's the God that I'm asking you to really, even if you have been journaling, I'm asking you to reconsider the time frame, your quiet time, and enlarge it. To allow God to talk with you more. In Jesus' name, I proclaim that the word of the Lord would manifest in our hearts, those watching online, and everyone in this house, that the blessings of the Lord would just overwhelm them. Thank you, Lord, for the miracle of healing. Thank you, Lord, for Pastor Bob and Mary. Blessings upon him. Strength to him for the next few weeks. Thank you, Lord, for our teachers. Overwhelm them with peace. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great day with your family and friends.